97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC's School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the troubling number of major sports injuries this year, particularly at the high school level. Our guest, Kristen Casera, director of the National Center for Catastrophic Sport Injury Research, located at UNC Chapel Hill. Kristen, first, what does it take for an injury to be considered catastrophic?
The injuries that our center has been collecting since 1982 are the most severe injuries. So when we define catastrophic, we define those injuries as an injury that would result in a fatality or death, or an injury that would result in severe disability, whether it be permanent or semi-permanent, or an event that would be considered severe that could lead to death with a recovery. So that would be something like a sudden cardiac arrest where the individual was resuscitated. And those are the events that we consider catastrophic.
All right. And you've been collecting these numbers for more than 30 years.
Yes.
And the numbers we have from 1982 to 2013 show more than 2,000 such events. That seems like a staggering number.
Yes. Yes, it does. And you know, the goal of our center is to see those numbers be as small as we possibly can make them. So, we don't like to see those numbers.
So those who, anytime you start hearing about, especially a number of deaths or major injuries in a short amount of time, as we've had this football season throughout the U.S., you have people starting to call for the abolishment of the sport. And those who defend the sport want to say, yes, there have been this many really bad injuries or deaths, but compare that to how many participants there are.
Yes.
So, if you look at it that way, it seems like a small number, but I don't think that would give any solace to the parents or the siblings of someone who died playing high school football.
Absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely correct. I mean, we always try to keep in mind that, you know, when we're researchers and when we collect numbers, that, you know, we try to express what the risk is for a sport. But we also know for that individual and for that family that that risk is absolute if they've suffered that injury. And so clearly, you know, when we try to make comparisons, we understand that, and you know, we don't discount the severity of and the importance of every event that happens, which is why we work so hard to collect information so that we can learn how to prevent them.
This university and others are doing a lot of research about brain injury.
Yes.
Kevin Guskowitz and others. So we're hearing a lot in the media about concussions and the long-term effect of concussions. That's a subset of what you're talking about, though, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we're collecting the events that are considered to be the most severe. And so when we talk about a traumatic brain injury that would be catastrophic, we'd be talking about a hemorrhage or a second impact syndrome where someone has received a head impact or a severe brain injury closely following a previous brain injury. But a concussion as they're defined, you know, we have a level of severity that it would have to reach before our center would be following up with collecting information.
Okay, so the quote-unquote smaller or less severe brain injuries that add up over time might not be catastrophic one specific event, though in the end it turns out to be catastrophic for that individual.
Oh, certainly, yes. And we definitely recognize that, you know, our center has a definition, you know, a case definition that we have in place, but clearly that definition pales in the comparison to the effects of an injury on an individual. And so, you know, if an injury ends a season for an athlete, like if an athlete suffers a concussion and that ends their season, for them, that's catastrophic. I can imagine that can be confusing when we talk about these definitions.
Okay. Another definition I think our listeners need to have in mind is the difference between a directly caused catastrophic injury and an indirectly caused. What's the difference?
The injuries that we classify as direct are ones that we can link directly to the activities of the sport. And so another word that we might use is a traumatic event. And so it's an event where the athlete was involved in a tackle, or the athlete collided with a player or a piece of apparatus, you know, a piece of sporting equipment. Those would be what we would call a direct or traumatic event, whereas the events that are indirect are ones that may not result directly due to the activities of the sport. And so maybe they're from the act of just exerting. So it could be exertional heat stroke, could be sudden cardiac arrest, something like that. That's generally what we would term as an indirect. Another word would be a systemic event.
Okay, so in 2014, in 2014 we had 11 deaths, 5 direct, 6 indirect. I believe these numbers are specific to high school football.
Yes.
And we had 92 in the decade that leads up to that. So the question is, especially last year and this, where I believe we've had 6 deaths already during this football season, the heads up, don't lead with the head, don't spear, don't target with the head, all of these measures. I want to talk about how effective they've been, and we'll do that in our when Sports Focus returns. Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion about sports injuries, particularly major sports injuries at the high school level. We're talking with Kristen Cacera of the Catastrophic Sport Injury Research Center here at UNC. Kristen, just this season, we've had deaths of high school football players, and football is not the only sport in which, you know, athletes suffer major injuries or even death. But there are a lot of focus on football because there seem to have been a number in a very short period of time. And here in this area recently, we had a young man break his neck. It didn't die from it, but when you start to hear these things, the sidebar story is always, should you allow your kids to play football? What would you say to a parent who asked you that question? Should I let Junior or my young daughter even play football?
We have our center, as well as the Matthew Gefeller Center for Traumatic Brain Injury. I think that is a question that we do get. And I think that one thing that we want to definitely keep in mind is that, you know, physical activity is important. It's important for our young people. It's important for adults. And we want to encourage participation in sport, physical activity. The benefits of sport are tremendous. You know, kids learn a lot just by participating, and the benefits definitely transcend the physical. And so, you know, our goal, as well as other centers' goal, are to, you know, do everything we can to make the sport as safe as we possibly can make it. You know, there are a lot of sports that are considered to be contact or collision sports. And so, you know, we know that comes with a risk of injury. And that's why there are, you know, safety committees out there that look at the rules, look at the equipment that the kids are wearing. I think that the thing that I would tell a parent is I would say that it's important that you think about, you know, your school. Does your school have an emergency action plan? You know, think about the equipment that is available for your athlete. And I think that, you know, it's an individual decision that I think most parents need to make. And, you know, we try to give people the information that they need to make those decisions. And clearly having, you know, access to medical care is important. Emergency action plans are important, safety equipment and things like that.
So how important is it that there's upfront testing, if you will, of these athletes to determine, is there a pre-existing heart condition or any other thing that would make this more dangerous than it's already going to be in that it is a collision sport?
Yes. I mean, I think that the current recommendations, certainly at the high school level, are, you know, pre-participation physicals are an important part of, you know, determining whether someone can participate in physical activity. And there are safety recommendations, and but then, you know, there's, you know, from national, from state, and then from state to the schools. And so I think that clearly getting a pre-participation physical is important, and identifying, as you mentioned, things that would preclude participation, any issues with, you know, any cardiac issues, you know, previous history of injuries, including concussions, and things like that are very important.
Let's go back to the parent angle. You know, I'm imagining I'm a parent with a son, let's say, who wants to play high school football, 14 years old, let's say, and we're in one of these rural outlying towns. I think I would have to take into consideration, are there trainers? How well trained are they? Are there emergency medical personnel on hand? They're supposed to be, but that's supposed to be an R or sometimes two different things. How much of this falls on the family, on the parents, to make a really informed decision?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's true for any sport, really. I mean, I think that, you know, certified athletic trainers are healthcare professionals that are trained in, you know, the prevention, the care, and the management of sports-related injuries. And, you know, I'm a certified athletic trainer as well as an epidemiologist. And so, and I worked at the college level. So, you know, I know what certified athletic trainers are trained in and what they're able to do, and clearly they're experts in managing emergencies. So, you know, having a certified athletic trainer is a great thing. And we, you know, encourage schools when possible to have one. Other things that can be put into place, and as it relates to football, are, you know, having an EMS on site at a game. I think the other things we need to think about is access to an AED or an automatic external defibrillator, and having that on site as well. I think these are things that could be put into place. I think that it is tough for schools that are in rural communities, and, you know, I think as a, you know, parents, just finding out, you know, what are the options and what is available, I think, and educating themselves on what the emergency plan is for that school are important.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion of major sports injuries, particularly at the high school level and particularly in high school football, with Kristen Cusera, Director of the National Center for Catastrophic Sport Injury Research. Kristen, I've grown up around the sport of football. I played it. Wasn't good enough to play it in college, but I got involved in officiating pretty much right away. So I've been around the sport for a long time. Never have I personally questioned whether I would allow a son, or I do have a grandson now. What would I advise his parents when it comes to football? Always my advice would have been, hey, sure, there's some risk, but it's very minor. There are very few instances, but I think now my advice would be different. After several years of hearing about, you know, concussions and other injuries, and my daughter, by the way, has absolutely said he is not going to play football. But this is a discussion I think that is new for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I think that we've, our center has gotten questions about that. And, you know, I think that, you know, parents, we would encourage parents to, you know, educate themselves in terms of, you know, getting to know their school, getting to know what safety procedures their school has in place. I think getting to know their coach and what their coach's philosophy is in terms of safety, and understanding, you know, about the equipment that their son has access to. And I think that just encouraging them to get the information that they need so that they can make the decision that they need to make.
And I think it was your colleague, Kevin Guskowitz, who told me this. I can't be sure, my memory being what it is, but someone in your area of study here at the university once said that, you know, we talk about the helmets and updated technology and all that stuff, that, and the quote was, helmets are not designed to prevent brain injury or concussions. They're designed to prevent skull fractures. So again, that's part, I think, of the educational process. It's like they can have the greatest high-tech technology there is in the world, but if you're getting hit by a Mack truck or the equivalent thereof, that is not in and of itself enough.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Kevin would be the best person to speak to the helmet, but I have heard him say and others say that same thing about the helmet. I think that when we look at the data from the Catastrophic Center, we've been collecting data here for football since 1965. So we have numbers that go back pretty far. And I think that, you know, the trend that we see in the decline of catastrophic does fit the time that they, you know, outlawed head-first contact in the game, as well as the establishment of a helmet standard. So I think that, you know, when we look at fatalities, that does support that. But it is, you know, crucial and critical to keep in mind that, you know, the helmet is not designed to protect against a concussion.
So let's go back to sort of where we started the discussion, and that is, okay, the numbers are improving. That's great, but that doesn't make John Smith's mother feel any better, that he is less of a statistic than he would have been previously. So is there an official stance from your center about athletics, especially those sports that are considered hard contact or collision sports?
I think that our center believes strongly in the value of sport and participating in sport. And there are contact sports. And, you know, as we talked about, if we look at football and we compare rates, like where we consider the number of participants, football has far more participants than any other high school sport. And so when we look at the catastrophic events for football, the rate compared to some of the other sports, while football certainly has the most in terms of numbers, it doesn't necessarily present the highest rate of catastrophic injury. And so I think that's important to keep in mind. And I think it's really important to keep in mind that there are committees, safety committees, who meet annually to review the rules, to review medical care, recommendations for equipment. They meet every year to talk about, you know, if what changes need to be made. And our center, as well as other places that have surveillance data for sports injuries, we provide that data to those organizations so that they can make the best decisions and increase the safety of the sport. And so I think our center works very hard to get that data into the hands of the people that need it to make those decisions. And, you know, we try to improve our methods because, you know, we the data is only good as our methodology, and we capture a lot of our events primarily through media sources. So one of the ways we're working to improve safety is we've created a website where anyone can report a catastrophic event. It's called sportinjuryreport.org. And that is our hope to get a better sense of exactly how many of these catastrophic events occurred and what happened so that we can get information to people who need it.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Kristen Casera. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.